Leviticus 25, verse number 10, says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land and all the inhabitants thereof." This is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and you are listening to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. It is a privilege to be back one more time. We do always appreciate the opportunity, and we want to take just a moment to invite you, if you are in the listening area, visiting, looking for a church home, we'd love for you to come by and visit with us at Mount Lebanon. We are located at 1128 Baird's Creek Road. That is 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road, just above the Willow Valley Resort, the Willow Valley Golf Course. Some of you may know where that is, but if you were leaving town on 105 South, and probably, I'm going to say, 5 miles from the Wendy's intersection, Baird's Creek Road would be on the right, and we are 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road. We have Sunday school for all ages at 10 a.m., and then at 11 a.m. our Sunday morning worship service. So I want to let you know about that before we get started today. It is a beautiful day outside, and we are thankful for that. It's good to see Noah in the radio studio this morning. Are you having a good day so far?
I am. I'm glad to be here this morning. Thankful to be here. We do want to say welcome to all those who are listening in right here on AM 1450 WATA out of Boone, North Carolina, and 96.5. We also want to say welcome to those on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia, and those who listen in on KPGT 89.1 FM, The Truth, out of Watertown, South Dakota.
Thank you, Noah. We appreciate that. And today we're going to continue our study on the subject of civics. And this is the eighth week that we have been looking at the subject of civics. I don't know how much longer we'll continue in this. Probably few more weeks, several more weeks probably. But I've already got something in my mind coming up a little bit later on this year we want to get into. And so having to do a little digging and studying to get ready for that. But civics, if you study, maybe you remember in elementary school, maybe you studied civics in high school. The definition of civics is the rights and duties of citizens and how the government works. Now, if you are a new listener, and we have new listeners from time to time, maybe you're just in the car and listening to the radio, and this is the first time you've heard us, you might ask the question, why would a pastor with a radio broadcast sponsored by a church be studying the subject of civics? And my answer to that is that the Bible has a great deal to say and to teach us about civics, the rights and duties of citizens, and how the government works. We gave several examples so far from the life of the Apostle Paul and how he used his knowledge of civics. He used his knowledge as a citizen and how the government works in order to actually further the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he used that so that he could have maximum freedom in his life and that he could have liberty to come and go. And all of that played into his knowledge of civics. Much of the Old Testament is really we wouldn't label it this, but if you think about it, there's a lot of subject matter that has to do with civics in the Old Testament because it deals with the law that God gave to the nation of Israel and how it relates to those people, the government that they lived under and the laws that they lived under and the responsibilities that they had and the duties that they had. And so a lot of the Old Testament that we study has to do with the subject of civics. It is to our advantage as citizens to be informed concerning our rights, our duties, and how the government works. Hosea chapter 4, verse number 6, we have mentioned this the past couple of weeks where the Bible says over there, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." And so the founding fathers, when they founded this country, they intended that we be an informed electorate. They knew that it was to our advantage to continue as a country to be informed, to be educated. And so once upon a time in our country, there was a lot more emphasis upon our true history, our beginnings, where we come from, how we come from, the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, and how all these things work. And they are to our advantage. And so we've talked a great deal about that. We looked at the Constitution. We sort of wound that up last week looking at the Constitution. That is how the government works. And it talks about the legislative branch, the president, the judicial system, the charge to the states, the responsibility of the nation. And that pretty much sums up what the Constitution talks about. It is the how-to of our government. But the theme of this radio broadcast is this: proclaim liberty. I say that every week when I come on the air, Leviticus 25:10. Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. Now, I said this, it's to our advantage to be informed about civics. And the theme of the radio broadcast is proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It's called the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. Wouldn't you feel foolish as a citizen if you lived your life in bondage and tyranny? You lived as a slave, you lived as a subject, while in fact the whole time you were free by lawful decree. Well, that's a good introduction to colonial America in the years leading up to July the 4th, 1776. And what I mean in saying that is this: there was a time in our country where it began to dawn upon the people of our nation that they were indeed free, that their freedoms, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but that there was a, well, let me put it like this. There's a reason why our money not only says in God we trust, but it says liberty on it. Our money says liberty. Our monuments are scattered all across this country, and they have a theme. They have a recurring theme of liberty. Just for example, the Statue of Liberty, the Liberty Bell, which has Leviticus 25:10, Liberty Hall, our stamps, not all of them, but a lot of them have liberty on them. Our buildings, our street names, our towns, counties, state houses, on and on and on. I got behind a vehicle this morning, and I was coming into town, and their name incorporated the word freedom into it. I mean, you see this all over the place. Freedom, liberty in our country. There is a reason why you find that recurring theme over and over and over again. And when we talk about liberty, when we talk about freedom, we also have to talk about rights. We have to talk about our rights as individual citizens. So civics is that. Civics is not only the study of how the government works, but it is the rights and duties of citizens. And so we have rights as citizens of the United States of America. Well, actually, everybody in the world has rights, but we're talking about America and our rights. Now, our founding fathers were not the first generation to discover or to discuss an individual's rights. For example, in the 1200s, the English, there was a controversy among the English monarchy, and the nobles came and the people came, and see, the monarchy at that time, they proclaimed that they had the divine right of kings. And as a king, they said, that gives us that God made me the king, and I'm putting this in layman's terms, but they basically said, God made me the king, and I can do anything I want to do. I can come in your house. I can take your property. I can take your wife. And that was really the thing, that the divine right of kings, that a king could come anywhere in his kingdom, and he could take someone else's wife to be his wife. And finally, people got fed up with that, and they said, you know, that's going too far. And the English nobles stood in, and they stood up to the king, and they said, you know, we have certain rights, and we're going back to the 1200s. And that's where that phrase, a man's home is his castle, comes from. And so the English nobles went before the monarchy, went before the king, and they said, you know, we have some rights, and we are to be as secure in our home as the king is in his castle. And so down through history, you will find little sparks of liberty that would spring up here and there in different places in the world. Something that is very interesting to study out is the relationship between England and Scotland and Ireland. And in Northern England, when you come to the border of Scotland, you find a centuries-old controversy between Scotland and England, between the Scottish people and the English people, and the English crown and the desire of the Scottish people to rule themselves. And so you find that there's actually, you know, you hear people talk about the Great Wall of China, but you know, there's a wall. They built a wall to divide between Scotland and England. The Scottish people said, we have a right. We have a right to rule ourselves. And so we find that there's different places, there's different thinkers along the line that talked about an individual's rights, that it just wasn't that there was a king and the king could do anything he wanted to do. But our founding fathers were probably the first generation to put it into writing and to say, as a country, as a nation, we believe that every individual is created equal and that we have unalienable rights. Now, that word unalienable, that is a word that you and I need to be familiar with. And this is how it is phrased in the Declaration of Independence. It says, we hold these truths to be self-evident. That means that, you know, if something is self-evident, that means that it's obvious. We hold these truths to be obvious. Everybody ought to see this. Everybody ought to understand this. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. Now, that's just a little part of the most famous part of the Declaration of Independence, that men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. And it says that among these rights, now all of our rights are not listed in the Declaration of Independence or in the Bill of Rights, but these are just some of the most important ones that we are going to be looking at. But the word unalienable, now that's not a word you hear every day or a word that you use every day. But what does that word unalienable mean? The word unalienable means that we could not give them away if we wanted to. You go back to the old dictionary, the American Standard Dictionary, Noah Webster's original dictionary, and unalienable means this: that cannot be alienated, that may not be transferred. You can't give them away. They cannot be alienated. They cannot be taken away, separated from us. Now, here is the thing that you find that is unique about America. Liberty is unique about America. Because when we come to the Declaration of Independence, and like we said, and we're going to give some examples, there were some little liberty fires here and there around the world before the Declaration of Independence, but when it came to the Declaration of Independence, they put it down on paper and they set it forth as a nation believing this. But here's what we find the Declaration of Independence teaches us, and what liberty, the subject of liberty, teaches us. Now, if rights come from the king, or if our rights are granted by the government, they can be taken away by the king. They can be taken away by the government. But that is not where our rights come from. Our rights come from a much higher authority. What does it say in the Declaration of Independence? We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator. That is a capital C there. That is a reference to God Almighty. And there are four references to the God of the Bible in the Declaration of Independence. It talks about the laws of nature and of nature's God. It talks about endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. It talks in the Declaration of Independence about the supreme judge of the world. That's talking about the Lord. And it also talks about that they were looking to the Lord with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. They were talking about the God of the Bible. But they said that we are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. So rights do not come from the king. Rights do not come from the government. If the government gives us our rights, then the government can take them away. And a lot of people, you know, they think that certain rights ought to be taken away. Well, if you take away one, what's the one right, what's to stop from taking away two rights? If you take away the freedom, the right to keep and bear arms, a lot of people think that ought to be taken away. Well, if you take that away, what's to stop the government from taking away freedom of religion? What's to stop them from taking away freedom of speech? All of our rights? But rights do not come from government. Government is not the creator of rights. Government is not the grantor of rights. Government is to be the protector of rights. And a lot of people in our day and time, they have got that sort of mixed up and messed up. But rights come from God, and it is the Lord that has proclaimed liberty. And we say that, and I've already said that every week when I come on the radio broadcast. You know, that's the first time the word liberty is mentioned in the Bible. It is the divine decree of God when it says, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. And it is talking there, of course, about a physical liberty, but God has decreed physical liberty. He has decreed governmental liberty. If you study this out in the Bible, you will always find that the Lord is anti-tyrant. He's always against the tyrants that come along in the Bible, whether it's Nimrod or Nebuchadnezzar or Herod or whoever it might be, Caesar. The Lord is anti-tyrant. He is pro-liberty. He is pro-liberty, spiritually speaking. It is not the Lord's will that we live in bondage, physically, governmentally, or spiritually speaking. And that is why it is foolish to live in bondage. And I said at the beginning, why would a preacher, why would a church be interested in civics, in liberty, and all of these things? Because God has decreed from heaven liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. And that liberty that we see in the Old Testament is a type of what we find in the New Testament in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 8, verse 32, the Bible says over there, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. When Jesus came and read in the temple in Luke chapter number 4, he stood up and he read out of Isaiah chapter number 61, a passage of scripture concerning himself. And you know that passage of scripture talks about proclaiming liberty to the captives. And so Jesus Christ came to set the captives free. The Lord is pro-liberty all the way around. And so it is dangerous for us not to guard our rights. We have rights that are given to us by God. Now, that is not to say that the government does not, and many governments around the world throughout the years have withdrawn liberties. They have taken liberty away from people. They come along in the seat of God, we might say, and they proclaimed to be, the granter of life, the giver of life, the sustainer of life, and all of these things. But they're trying to take the place of the Lord. So it's very dangerous for us not to guard our rights. Now, the Declaration of Independence, it has been shown many different places and in many different ways that the roots of the Declaration of Independence can actually be traced to the Bible. And I want to give an example. I'm reading out of a book called One Nation Under God by Dr. David C. Gibbs, and he's the president of the Christian Law Association, but he talks about in this book the biblical roots of the Declaration. And he said a few decades ago, two political science professors, Charles S. Heineman and Donald S. Lutz, conducted a groundbreaking massive study wherein they examined some 15,000 documents, including several thousand books, written during America's founding era between 1760 and 1805, and analyzed their political content. These men studied political volumes, monographs, pamphlets, and newspaper articles. There they found 3,154 citations or references to other sources. He said the source cited or quoted most often in these political writings was the Bible. On average, during that particular half century, 34% of political literary citations came from the Bible. In fact, far more often than they quote any particular individual. The political writers of that era quote the Bible. And it said after the Bible, the top three sources cited in the political writings of the founding era during the same time period were Montesquieu, who accounted for 8.3%, Blackstone with 7.9%, and Locke was 2.9%. All of these men were professing Christians whose views on politics, government, and law were influenced directly and positively by the Bible. And another major influence during that day, and we have talked about this on the Blessings of Liberty broadcast many, many times before, was the influence of the churches and the influence of the pastors. They had much influence, much more influence on society then I would say they do today. I mean, back then, people wanted to know what the pastor had to say. And every election year, on election day, or when the new members of Congress and states would do this as well, when they were sworn in to their new offices, they would have an election day sermon, and they would go to church. They called it divine service, and they would go to church and they would have a message, and they would hear the pastor stand up and preach. And a very popular passage of scripture during that day was 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And we've talked a great deal about the Great Awakening and how that influenced the whole nation for God and just infused a desire and a spirit for liberty in them. And so liberty was the word of the day. Where did they get that idea? Where did they get that desire from? They got it from the Bible. And there's many, many today who would take our Christian heritage and they want to hide it. They want to deny it. They want to put it out of the public sight. But if you know the language of the Bible and you read any speeches from that day, you will find that they are literally infused with biblical language. I did a study one time, and I actually brought it here on the Blessings of Liberty, but Patrick Henry and his writings and his speeches and his famous speech, "Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death," and I forget how many times in that one speech, and it's pretty short. I think it's maybe 7 minutes, something like that. If you took it and you read it out loud, there's like 35 or so scriptural references to the Bible. So these people, they read the Bible, they believe the Bible. Donald Lutz said this about it. He said, although the citations came from virtually every part of the Bible, St. Paul was the favorite in the New Testament, especially the parts of his epistle to the Romans in which he discusses the basis for and limits on obedience to political authorities. And something else I'll share with you today. I think we have time. It's interesting here in North Carolina. North Carolina license plates now say first in freedom or first in flight, and they're talking about the Wright brothers. But before they said first in flight, they said first in freedom. And I notice now when you go to get a license plate for a car, you can choose between the first in flight, or now they brought back, you can get a first in freedom. Now, why do our license plates in North Carolina say first in freedom? Our flag has two dates on it. One of those dates is May the 20th, 1775, and that date refers to what is called the Mecklenburg Resolves. The Mecklenburg Resolves are actually America's first Declaration of Independence. The Mecklenburg Resolves was drawn up by 27 church leaders in Mecklenburg County. These men were Scots-Irish descent. Elder Ephraim Brevard was the leader that drew up the Mecklenburg Resolves. Now, when Thomas Jefferson wrote the Declaration of Independence, he had a copy of the Mecklenburg Resolves in front of them. The citizens of Mecklenburg declared their independence May the 20th, 1775. The Declaration of Independence a little more than a year later, July 4, 1776. But let me give you some comparisons between the two. The Mecklenburg Resolve said this: we, the citizens of Mecklenburg County, do hereby dissolve the political bands which have connected us to the mother country. Here's what the Declaration of Independence says: when it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another. It's the same language, just rearranged a little bit. It also says, the Mecklenburg Resolve says, and hereby absolve ourselves from all allegiance to the British Crown. The Declaration of Independence says that we are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown. The Mecklenburg Resolve said, we do hereby declare ourselves a free and independent people, are and of right, ought to be a sovereign and self-governing association under the control of no power other than that of our God and the general government of the Congress. And the Declaration of Independence says, by authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are and of right, ought to be free and independent states. Now, if you saw the comparison on a piece of paper, you could more readily pick it out. But Thomas Jefferson had a copy of that before him when he penned the Declaration of Independence. The spirit of liberty was going throughout all the land, and people recognized that their rights did not come from the British Crown, but their rights came from God. And that is how our nation is set up from the very beginning, that we believe that our Creator has endowed upon us certain unalienable rights, cannot be transferred, cannot be taken away, because they're given by Him. Well, we appreciate you listening in today. I hope you have a great rest of the day. Noah's going to come and give the contact information.
You've been listening to Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. It's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org, or through our church phone number at 828-963-4596. And that website again is mtlebanonbc.org.